This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. How's your social battery doing right now? I've never used that phrase, but I instantly know what it means. And I think it's interesting because it works two different ways. Some people need to have their social battery charged, and they this is the introvert extrovert thing. And some people, you know, like they've got enough energy for other people, but then it's time to sort of step away. And, you know, as we get to this part where winter is ending, which again, it's opposite. I love winter. I don't need it to end. You know, you start getting together with more people and it can be a little draining on top of every other thing that we all have going on in our lives. I just assume everybody's overburdened because I think everybody's overburdened, but it can be tough to deal with. And also one of the things is like, you can't necessarily understand why you feel that way or why it's making you tired, but it's a real thing. If you think that you could use some help with it, if you could figure out a way to make things better, therapy is a great way to help. It can give you that kind of self-awareness to know how to ride that level just right so that you feel good, you feel right. If you're thinking of starting therapy, you can give BetterHelp a try. It is entirely online. It is designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule, which is, again, we've been talking about being busy, right? You got to fit that in. You got a lunch period. You can do it during that time, whichever. That's possible. You fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. I like that. There is no penalty for finding the person who is right for you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/iFanboy today. Get 10% off of your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/iFanboy.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
You're John Chespagon.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft. Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
You are listening to the iFanboy Special Edition Podcast, Spider-Man 3.
Hey, welcome to the iFanboy.com special edition Spider-Man 3 podcast. We just watched the movie and we're a little peppy.
We literally just walked out of the theater. We're actually in the store next to the movie theater.
Yeah. No, just good acoustics in the background.
Yeah, it's amazing. They had the whole podcast set up and everything for us. It was great.
Amazing stores in New York City, aren't there?
So we saw the movie.
Yep. So let's talk about how hyped up were you guys for the movie? Were you excited? How did you feel going into it?
I was ambivalent.
You were ambivalent?
I mean, I was excited for it. I want to see a good movie. I was on a media blackout, so I didn't read any reviews, and I talked to not a lot of people, and I didn't really have as much invested. I've learned since last summer not to really get too excited for these things, yeah, so I was just, I'm hopeful.
Josh?
I ambivalent was a good word. Yeah. I kind of was like, oh, look, there's that movie, and I didn't really care anymore. Yeah. I was like, oh, it'll be fun to go see or whatever, but I kind of like didn't expect anything from it because... Like, when it gets to the point where there's marketing and advertising everywhere, and every, you know, comic fan online is like, I'm totally bummed! Like, right. I don't know if I'm too old for that, or like, but like, I just don't get like that anymore. I do remember getting out of Spider-Man 2 and going, wow, I really want to see the next one.
Well, I think that's, that was...
But like, since then, I don't...
Yeah, it's
that was the split for me. I really liked the second one. I was really excited after that was over, but at the same time, we've been burned so badly in the last year by superhero movies. Between Ghost Rider and X-Men.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, Superman.
Superman was awesome.
I know, I'm just kidding.
I just couldn't get excited for it, so I went in totally excited but apprehensive about it.
Well, conversely, I was not worried because Raimi had done such a good job, I think, for the past two.
The thing is, I didn't like the first one, so he was already 50-50 with me. It could go either way.
Right, right.
So let's talk about...
Should we first say whether we like it or not?
Overall, our opinions on it.
Josh?
I don't know, and I'm being completely honest. Like, yeah. I think... I didn't love it. I wasn't like, that was the greatest thing ever. But honestly, the things that I liked about it had no place in a Spider-Man movie.
Right.
Well, and, like, I laughed a lot, and I had a lot of fun watching it. What I watched there was the most expensive Sam Raimi movie ever made. Or movie, actually, apparently. Yeah. Yeah. But, like, I was like, this is a Sam Raimi movie, and this is not what people are going to be expecting. Like, if you were a fan of him before, and you know, Evil Dead and the Army of Darkness and stuff like that, like, wow, he'd gone back to his roots.
Yeah.
He really was indulgent.
I can't believe they let him do that.
What kind? Did you like it?
I really, really liked the first hour and a half, and then it just imploded.
Really?
In the middle, and I did not like it all, the second half of the movie at all.
Really? And were you okay with the ending, or did the ending bring it back?
We'll get to what I didn't like later, but overall, I thought it was really good. I read some of the reviews, like the people on our website who'd seen it before us, and I just, not the specifics, but the overall, it was really split, and for the first hour and a half, I thought, wow, those people didn't like it are crazy.
Yeah.
And then I went, oh, no, they're not crazy.
Well, it depends on what they didn't like.
Right. So, Ron, what did you
think? I would say I liked it more than I didn't like it. I mean, I agree with both of you that there were moments that were kind of odd, interesting choices. But ultimately, I thought, I mean, it was better than X3. And, like, that's my barometer now.
Right,
you know?
But, I mean, that's like...
Better than garbage?
And it was, yeah. And it was, no, I mean, all in all, it was enjoyable. There were some stuff that made me go, huh, but... I don't, you know, and it's definitely not what you would think from a Spider. Like, that's what I agree with. It was a Sam Raimi movie.
Yeah.
Like, more so than the previous two.
I couldn't believe it.
Which is, I mean, honestly, I kind of like that. I kind of like that, actually.
I did too.
Let's talk about what we liked. Josh, what did you really like about it? What worked? What worked?
Let's talk about what worked or the high point.
What was good about it? Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't think that I would have thought this would have been a bad thing, but I actually got used to it. Was the fact that, like, it was put together very much like a 60s comic book.
Yes.
And I don't... Like, that's such a stupid thing to say. Of course it was. But, like, literally, like, everything just kept happening by coincidence, by accident. Yeah. I'm his girl... That's my girlfriend. Like, it just... There was no time wasted on making it realistic or trying to explain what happened. It was just like, here's the situation, let's move along. Yeah. You know, everything was like, I saw it on the TV, so I went there. And Eddie Brock just shows up. Yeah. And I kind of didn't mind that because they were consistent with it.
Wait, are we doing spoilers? Are we,
yeah, totally. Okay,
yeah, it's a warning. Yeah, if you haven't seen the movie yet, we might talk about exactly what happens. Right. So anyway, mm-hmm. So
you've already heard the part whether we're going to like it or not, if that's going to influence your decision.
Yeah, so there you go. Yeah, which is actually a good way to structure it. Actually, we should have thought about that. So Connor, what was good about it?
I really liked Sandman for the most part.
Yeah,
I thought Thomas Hayden Church was really good at Sandman. I'm searching for things I liked. I liked, what's his name? Venom.
Eddie Brock.
Topher Grace. I liked Topher Grace.
He was good.
I didn't know how I liked his voice coming out of Venom, but I got used to it.
That was a little weird, like, only because I think of the cartoon or whatever, it put it in your head that he sounded a certain way. Yeah. Right. Yeah. But
they had the scream.
Like, going in, everybody was like, I don't know if Venom's any... I was totally always okay with it.
Yeah, everything Venom I thought was fine.
Yeah.
It was great.
Much as I didn't like the idea of him being in the movie, I liked the fact that he was doing the classic villains.
Yeah. And
I didn't like this concept, but they did it well.
He was scary. You know,
It wasn't, I mean, there was a lot of concern. I know the concern I did have was the Batman syndrome, was the Schumacher syndrome, where let's just pack as many villains and characters as we can.
Mm. Well, that I thought was a problem.
Well,
really?
Well, yeah. I thought I was concerned about it, but I thought it balanced out. I thought it worked out.
I thought there wasn't enough time spent on any of them. Villain got sort of a surfacey. Like, I would want to see more Venom or more Sandman.
Well, considering half the budget was spent on Sandman, they kind of got the short shrift.
I thought Sandman, he was great, and then disappeared for like an hour.
Right, yeah, Sandman, apparently that was like the hardest effect that's ever been done.
Yeah.
And I thought it really came out.
It looked great,
really,
but I wanted
well.
More of him or more Venom. But it was like half the movie was Sandman, then half was Venom. And it was just like, that was, dramatically, it doesn't work the same.
Half the movie was also Goblin. Wait a minute, that's three halves.
exactly. There's, speaking of Goblin, there's maybe about an hour in the middle where my absolute high point of the movie was Harry Osborn. Freaking hysterical.
It really was great.
Because he was like, because James Franco is not a good actor.
No.
I mean, he can't act out of a cardboard box. And he does this stupid, goofy grin, and he did it in the first movie, like, oh, Peter.
What?
You know, and like, it was like, and he was totally back to that first movie character. Yeah. And like, the one shot when Mary Jane called him and he's painting. Like, it was just so random. It was like.
But again, that was like that Raimi stuff.
Yeah.
Like, that didn't seem like it fit in a Spider-Man movie. That was just, felt like it was him goofing around.
Yeah.
And what's funny is that the first couple movies I hadn't watched through Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah.
And since Spider-Man 2, I've watched the whole series, and he was really good in that. But like
the
first two movies, I was like, that guy's terrible.
Yeah.
Now for some reason, I appreciate him a little more for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And in this movie, like, he was that. It was like every time he came on screen for that hour that you're talking about, it was funny
it was
as hell.
Great. And what? But more seriously is that because that happened in the comics. I mean, like, you know, Harry went through so much. I mean, he lost his memory. He didn't know that the Goblin was his father, stuff like that. So I like that. without specifically translating a specific issue from the comics to the movie, it kept in tune with the vision or the whole, you know, mm-hmm. what the essence of what Spider-Man and right. the Goblin relationship is and all that kind of stuff. I really liked to see that, and that was I thought that was really good. So
for me, the best part of the movie was the first hour or so when you got like Peter being almost completely inept in a relationship.
Yeah,
and then they really did a good job of playing up his fact that he's really a nerd at heart.
And
something you lose in the comics is that he's
the moped helped.
The moped was funny. I mean,
you love the moped. You love every time they put the helmets on. Josh was cackling.
That's what it's like to be in a movie theater with me. There'll be some innocuous thing, and you'll hear me laugh in the distance.
I loved him being the Uber nerd, which was great.
I like that they chose an aspect of his character, and they decided to go with it. Again, it was like the '60s one, where he's a nerd. He's not good at anything. Yeah. You know. And they stuck with it.
Sitting in the theater, mouthing the words along with Mary Jane. Like he's totally not.
Yeah.
He's not smooth.
Right. Yeah.
You know. All the stuff it was a lot of good moments. Like the J. Jonah stuff was great in the beginning.
Yeah. Always, but
it
was like, he's just entertaining.
Well, the J. Jonah at the end was superfluous, I thought.
Yes.
At the very end in the big fight scene, there's a J. Jonah moment that A, went on too long, and B, just didn't need to be there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know. So.
But then, you know, like, there was too much Aunt May, I thought.
I can't stand
this
that woman.
Too much,
I
like, come Aunt May showing up to give advice.
Peter?
I will say, when she was, like, describing how, like, I think she was talking to him about when Ben
proposed.
Ben proposed and the creepy. Whole thing. And then at the end, she looks at this, she starts...
We were very good swimmers.
And she starts crying. Like, I was like, I miss Ben. I totally, like, had a moment where I was like, oh, that's so sad. I don't know the guy. Yeah. I don't, you know, we was in a movie for 5 minutes. But I was like... That was.
She does sell the you know Ben dying.
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
know the consequence of Ben dying. She sells.
But
that
it's,
very
it's
well.
the same problem I have with her in the comics as I have in the movies. She only shows up to give him advice about life.
Peter?
Yeah.
And it's the same advice over and over and over. It's the same speech. But the best scene in the movie, I thought, was the aborted proposal scene with
Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell finally getting more than just like 2 seconds of screen time in these movies.
Well, here's the thing is that this is we're seeing a theme here is that the best parts in the movies was the stuff that made us laugh.
Yeah.
So I think that what I mean, like there was the action sequences and the fights; those were real good.
Yep.
You know what? They weren't. I think the fight while falling, he's done it. It's like it's all they do is fight while falling.
Well,
he does it all
with
the
knockoff fight.
Either way, so you can look. We'll get to that.
Right. We'll get to
but either way, like I think the stronger points were I would say some of the action sequences and B. The funny stuff, like just the off the wall wacky shit, like, but at the same time, is that the Spider-Man movie that people signed up for?
Well, I mean, but that's tough to decide because
we're gonna find out.
I guess. Yeah, no, exactly. Because the thing is, like, part of Spider-Man, I mean, we've talked about this before, and we've talked about this in the past, is that what makes Spider-Man whatever humor is an aspect of it.
Absolutely,
but it wasn't him. It was the movie being goofy.
Yeah,
it wasn't.
Yeah.
He wasn't funny.
Yeah,
there was no time where he did something.
He didn't make the. He didn't make the. Except the one. Oh, I'm the sheriff in these parks. That
wasn't
was the
funny,
one
though.
Quip that he made. There was no quips when he was Spider-Man.
That's a good point.
He was never actually funny. It was
because
he was.
Oh my god, I hate this movie. This movie sucks.
He's almost a straight man.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right.
That's a good point. Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, this is his dark movie. Although, what's funny is when he was darkest, when he was Conor Oberst, emo Spider-Man, when he was with eyeliner, he actually had eyeliner.
Did he have
on.
Eyeliner?
Yes, I was looking.
Dark.
They had eyeliner on the edge of his lids.
Like, here we're in the border between the good and the bad. The moment when he went, after when he embraced Venom and he went dark and he looked in the mirror and he just pulled his bangs down, I lost it. That was great. That was great.
Oh, that
was
awful.
Funny, though.
Yeah, right. It was great because it was funny. It was awful.
But when he was supposed to be dark, is what I'm saying, is the time that it got funny. Like, and he was, like, swaggering down the street and whatnot.
See, I thought that was funny in a oh my god, this is the worst thing we've ever seen way.
Really?
Yeah, like, it was awful.
Well, the swaggering down... Okay, now we're going to move into the bad.
Yeah.
So, in the movie,
I think there's probably more good.
Yeah.
Not really.
Let's talk about the...
Because you said you didn't like the action sequences.
No.
Now, one thing that I thought that was cool about this is that we don't actually get a lot of movies out of all the superhero movies that we've seen and everything.
Big group fights.
Very rarely have we seen, A, there was a team-up in this.
Yeah, sure.
In a kind of a fun way. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, and it was done
And
well.
You didn't, yeah. And
Spider-Man
then,
and the Goblin teamed
and
up.
The Goblin comes in and does the Han Solo.
Yep.
You know? And then the other half of it is, we've...
And they were able to fight very coordinatedly, very well.
They were. Grab my hand!
Shit.
Then the other half of it being that they were fighting supervillains, and in most of these movies, the X-Men movies aside, the villains are never supervillains. You know, Dr. Octopus it's a science thing, it was whatever, but it was like actually fighting other people with powers. And so there felt like real odds, I suppose. Yeah. Like when he was fighting Venom, I was like, Venom's fucking scary.
I thought the end fight, and this is a good and a bad. I thought the end fight was great. I thought the setup was good. I thought, you know, Mary, of course, you know, damsel in distress, take Mary Jane and get her, you know, attack him at his heart. You know, but I thought the whole scenario, and I gotta say, is it made me realize, not only in just that movie, but also in Marvel Comics, that Marvel owns a huge debt of gratitude to the various construction sites of New York City. If you look back at, if you look back through the years of the comics, all of these fights happen at construction sites,
right?
Which is and then the fact that it was in the movie was
just equipment and nobody around.
Yeah, exactly. Which I thought was great. And there's a lot of stuff to throw around, and there's sand, and you know, like
another good thing about the movie, I think, is on the same sort of thing. Is I thought that this one really felt like they were fighting in the streets of New York City.
Right, but my, what my bad thing was, because the end fight happens on a construction site at the end, and it was at night, but apparently the fight either went all night or started at like 5 in the morning, because it ends with the sunrise. Really? And there was a huge crowd of people cheering and stuff.
Like,
and
they wouldn't have pushed them away. It wasn't Ghostbusters.
No, not that they wouldn't have pushed them away. Yeah, exactly. Or, but like, if the fight started at 5 a.m., like, as much as they say the city never sleeps, walk around Manhattan and where that fight was supposed to be at 4 a.m., there's nobody around. There's not a crowd, you know what I mean? You know, people aren't going to get out of bed to watch this fight. And it was on the news. Like, it made it seem like the fight started at, like, 7 o'clock.
Well, what conceivably could have happened was he could have put her up there at 9 o'clock at night, and the crowd showed up and they waited around. Spider-Man doesn't show up until 1 in the morning.
And then dudes are already there selling T-shirts and umbrellas within an hour and a half. I don't know how they knew.
But whatever, it's a movie.
Earlier parts of the movie, though, where, like, the Goblin is chasing Peter through the city, I thought that was really well done.
But
also had a humorous tint to it, because remember when he was hitting his head against the thing, like, people were laughing during the fight. I mean, like, it was kind of weird, you know.
But we had a bad crowd.
No, but when I saw that scene in the before, when they played that scene before Heroes, I laughed too.
Did you?
Yeah, in my living room. So I was like, oh, he's hitting his head.
Well, yeah, but
that's
mean,
funny. He bounced off a dumpster. You know, like, no, but I thought it was good. Yeah. Although the catching the ring thing annoyed me.
There's no way he would have caught that ring.
There's no way he would have caught it, and there's no way.
But here's the thing: he flew down
like two blocks.
So this is what I'm saying: is that when I'm talking about
those avenue blocks are long.
With the comic book sort of precepts of the fact that, like, everything just happens by coincidence and all that stuff.
Exactly.
If you stick within that idiom, which I think they did all the way through, he was consistent, so you can't complain about that.
Agreed.
So if you try to approach it with a real-world sensibility, it's dumb.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But if you don't, then you can just kind of go with it, which is what, you know, that's probably what it felt like to be reading a Stan Lee Spider-Man book.
Yeah.
At the time, though, it wasn't considered hokey. It was considered groundbreaking, so.
Yeah.
The problem is that was 40 years ago.
It's not
realistic anymore. You know,
I'm saying it isn't realistic.
Right, that's the problem.
Neither is a giant sand monster.
Yeah.
That's not sand monster's not unusual, but the storytelling style
is too old. So you think that, like, compared to, like, a Batman Begins storytelling style
a matter of taste, though.
Yeah, exactly.
My taste, it was really not a good movie.
Well, you have no taste.
I think that when I normally don't like that kind of thing, and I'm normally right along with you, but it's kind of in the beginning of this movie when I chuckled at some of the jokes, and I was like, I'm going to go with it. Like, and it started right at the beginning when Topher Grace shows up, and he's like, I'm Eddie Brock, and it was like, he's just there, and he said, by the way, that's my girlfriend, and I was like, oh, all right,
it was exposition in one sentence.
Yeah.
Well, it was great, because James Cromwell's character, Captain Stacy, like, he's talking to Eddie Brock, and then finally looks at him and goes, who are you? And, like, it was like...
Yeah, he was speaking for the audience.
Yeah.
And I was like, and I bought into that right away, and I'm like, I'll just be okay with it for now. So that didn't bother me.
Yeah.
I enjoyed that.
So what did bother you then? Because I know the reaction we all had going out of it was that wasn't good.
I never said it wasn't good. I kept my mouth shut walking out of the movie because we weren't talking about it.
I said, I don't know. And it's the same thing I started with this, is that, like, I think it was too long. I think it could have been, like, if they had sort of ended it sort of a little sooner, I probably would have left a little more jolly.
My biggest complaint was the ending. It was like, what is this, The Return of the King? How many endings do we need in a movie? There was at least four.
Don't they all end with funerals? Is it every comic book movie has to end with funerals?
The first one ended with
X-Men.
Right, no. But, like, seriously, it ended with him and Sandman. It could have ended there. Then it ended with Harry dying, and it could have ended there. Then it ended with at the funeral. It could have ended there. And then it goes back to Mary Jane singing in the club. It could have, like, there were four endings in this movie. Yeah. It was Return of the King all over again. I just was waiting to see Frodo.
I was really upset that he forgave Sandman for killing Uncle Ben.
Yeah, but I mean...
That, I thought, was completely... First of all, the fact that they changed the murder for
retcon,
no good reason.
Retcon!
You know, there's... The whole idea...
The line was, it appears to me that a giant mistake.
Yes.
I was like, okay.
The whole point of Spider-Man is he let the killer go.
Yeah.
I mean, if suddenly, oh, somebody else did it, then you're completely changing the
Well, no, I can see...
The whole idea is the guilt for letting the killer go, that's why he's Spider-Man.
Because of his selfishness at the moment.
Because he let him go. But,
yeah,
but... If it turns to be somebody else, then he's no longer guilty for letting the guy go.
No, but the thing is that it's not even like Sandman killed Uncle Ben before the guy came out. They were in cahoots. Right, so it's still related.
It's not related, because he let the man who killed he let him go beforehand.
Right.
But unlike the comic
But had he stopped him, he wouldn't have run out, and the guy wouldn't have gotten the car. Like, it might not
it's
have
not,
happened.
It doesn't matter. He let the killer go.
Yeah.
But and unlike now they're the like, oh, there was somebody else.
Unlike the comic books, though, they can close that chapter if they want to here. There's nothing. Yeah. In the comic books, they have to keep it going forever.
Right.
Here, they don't have to. If they want to close one of his stories, I don't see why they can't.
And the thing is...
I don't buy the fact that he would let it be
thematically, it worked with the theme of forgiveness with Harry to Peter... And then eventually Mary Jane to Peter, you know what I mean?
Like, right, but it's bullshit. There's a tone like, he would never forgive the man and kill Uncle Ben.
You notice
right.
that when Harry's face got all scarred up, he just looked more like Willem Dafoe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then here's another
or
one. Like I said, you should see his face right now. He's shooting daggers.
I know, like when Harry turned around and his face was all fucked up, Connor just goes, Two-Face. I was like, all right, sorry.
I was going with the conceit that like coincidences happen, whatever. Yeah. One of the hardest ones to take, the cops going, we made a mistake. That was kind of rough. One of the hardest ones to take was the butler at the very end, just going, Oh, yeah, I was here for that.
I should have told you that.
Did I not mention the whole time that you've been training to kill your friend?
That it's not him?
Like, I was like...
Oh, God.
Or that he was able to deduce the wounds from, like, what killed them.
Yeah, how he could tell, yeah.
I saw from the wounds when I cleaned them that your friend didn't do it.
He was a field medic in World War II. So.
I know they're all Raimi things, but I thought the whole newscast thing was awful at the end. The framing device for the fight.
I thought that was just him being hokey still.
Yeah, right, but there was a lot of self-indulgence.
There's a lot of self-indulgence. I hated the dancing Peter down the street.
Well, that's what we're dancing around. That's what we're kind of tiptoeing around. Is that in the middle part when
that
he embraces,
part was awful.
He embraces Venom? Like, remember the standout of Spider-Man 2? Remember was the raindrop keep falling my head scene, which I loved, which I thought was hysterical. Okay, and literally didn't fit in terms of what you would expect. It was a little Raimi touch. Then this movie had a lot of those touches, culminating in this bizarro, dark Peter scene. What was great was that when he first embraced Venom, and he went dark, and he moved the hair down in front of his forehead, and he's walking through the street, and he noticed like women were giving him like oh, and then he had a little edge to him. And then, but then it turned, and he had like too much of an edge, and he was repelling women.
Yeah.
I thought if they kept with having the edge, that would have been better.
Right.
But then the bizarre jazz club
that was awful
dancing.
Too.
Like all of a sudden he's playing the piano like a pro jazz musician and does the whole dancing thing, and just like it's one thing to make out with Gwen in front of Mary Jane to stand her up, but to do this whole song and dance number out of nowhere was, as I said in the middle of the movie, that's an odd choice.
That's what you did. You look up. Here's the thing, though. That didn't bother me for whatever. Right. Like, after we'd already been getting to that point, it was just a building thing, and that was like the crescendo of the whole thing.
Like, I don't think, don't get me wrong, I don't think it ruined it. I think it sums it up as what I said to you guys when I turned to you. I said, that's an odd choice. I'd like, that was an
I
odd
would
choice.
Be really surprised if that part doesn't go over very badly with the public. Like, if, like, that, like, the thing is when you talk about people either saying they like or don't like this movie, that's going to be the part that it's going to really throw people.
Yeah.
And for me, I mean, I'm a Sam Raimi fan. I have been for a long time. You know, I own several different versions of Army of Darkness.
Yeah.
And so part of me was like, you know what? They're going to give him this money to play around with and do his thing. Fine. But for a lot of people, are going to take it a lot more personally than me.
Well, I think from the reaction of the audience we were in, people are not going to like it.
Really?
Yeah, you saw. I mean, there was hooting at the end.
Yeah.
You know, this was terrible.
Yeah.
It's not, I mean, you can be Sam Raimi, but you have to understand what you're working with then, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not making your own
He's already got two dump trucks of cash at his house. I mean, what he was...
Yeah.
Like, he loves the Three Stooges, and, you know, so that's what he does.
He loves the Three Stooges, really?
He's totally into the, like...
What did you guys think of Gwen Stacy?
I you know how I feel about that actress for some odd reason. I don't like her.
I didn't expect you.
I thought she was great.
Yeah, I did, too.
Yeah. Yeah,
however, it was a character named Gwen Stacy.
It was not Gwen Stacy. Yeah.
Right.
It was like the point of Gwen Stacy
is to further his
guilt complex.
Yeah.
You know.
Right.
I don't think Peter and Mary Jane should be together.
I think... No, I don't either.
They're a horrible relationship.
She cheated on him straight off.
It's nothing to do with Kirsten Dunst. People talk about... Nothing to do with her. It's the fact that her character, Peter's character, do not work.
I did love the fact that her character got fired in a play for bad acting and bad singing, and in reality, she couldn't sing and isn't a good actor. It was a little meta there.
I thought the weakest scenes were the ones between them two.
Yeah, I agree. Those, like, much more than even the Quesada conspiracy.
Much more than even the inmates.
He controls them.
He does, yeah.
Joe Quesada also controls the movie business, and he's trying. You are crazy.
He broke them up in the movies. No, I'm kidding.
No, but they're just horrible together.
Right. Well, it didn't end with them getting back together. I mean, it's very...
That was the implication.
It was implied, but, you know, you never know.
You know what's kind of funny is that part of the thing is I didn't kind of buy that she'd be with him.
Yeah.
Because they were really playing up him being a huge nerd.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden she's like all lovey and in love with him.
Yeah, like, which was kind of odd. I mean, I guess because he's Spider-Man, that gives him something else. And she knew about that. Go ahead.
Oh my! I'm sorry. Nothing completely not related to that. I'm sorry. But another just a nitpick was that the Spider-Man day, like giving Spider-Man the key to the city type thing. Like, had they coordinated? I mean, like he saw this, like it was news to him and he just knew to show up. Like it was kind of like, I don't know if the city would coordinate a big rally if they can't confirm he'll be there. kind of taking a lot on, you know. But anyway, but it was.
I'm just thinking about it a little more, and I think Topher Grace was really one of the better points of it. I really had fun with.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, I thought I would like to see more of him.
He's a great actor, although he's that's his role.
Yeah,
smug guy.
Yeah,
and so which was to me dead on with what I remember from those McFarlane Michelini Amazing Spider-Mans when he came out. I've never like. I remember one of the scariest, neatest things I've ever seen in a comic book was the one where you turn the page and it's him standing outside of Aunt May's house talking to her.
With the flowers.
And he's got a big smile on. Yeah. And like, that's what makes Venom scary. And they did that really well.
Yeah,
he knew everything.
Was,
he knew all the stuff.
Yeah. Although he knew stuff that I didn't know how he knew.
There was a couple
of
things.
At the end.
Yeah.
At the end when he was talking to Sandman and he's like, Spider-Man won't let you save your daughter. Like, how did he know that?
Yeah, that's true.
How did he know that? I don't know. That bothers me.
Yeah. By the way,
there were holes.
Apparently, Sandman fell into the most poorly secured garden.
Oh yeah,
that was the sign.
The particle
sign. Yeah, danger! Particle acceleration. Oh come on!
Keep out! Yeah.
And there's like a fence that you can hop over.
That was totally the 60s.
The other big laugh was at the rally when Spider-Man swung in and he was high-fiving people as he swung in.
Swanger.
He was. That was funny. I don't know, but yeah, I don't know. I mean, I enjoyed it. I had fun.
Yeah.
I'm probably not gonna go see it five times in the theater. I'll buy the DVD. I mean, like this in my world, this is a check in the good movie.
If you're willing to let go of what you think it should be, and you're not going to hold.
And I have no expectations of what it should be.
If you're going to be the kind of person who's like, this is not what Spider-Man is, you're gonna hate it.
Yeah.
If you are willing to just have a good time and sort of roll with it,
in
the way that. It's not unlike the way that you could watch the Batman 1966 movie, really.
No.
Oh, careful.
That is intentionally campy. There's
you don't think this was?
I think that's the problem. It was intentionally campy, unlike the first two, which weren't.
So they can't change
the second
one? Yeah, they can. If you have a movie series, you can't suddenly change the tone in the middle of it. That's what happened to the Batman movies.
Like continuity.
That's not true, though, because Batman Begins, unless you don't...
Well, that's not
canon.
That's
not the other movies. Yeah. It's not the same storyline.
But what's the point of making the same movie over and over again?
If it's a series, it's got to be the same, universe.
But the problem with that is that I think all three of the movies had all three of the movies had those bit of camp or bit of moments, but
it was a teensy tiny bit
in the first one, a little more in the second one, and a whole lot more in the third one.
Way too much.
And actually, what I think is interesting is that it begs the question of third movies: is that are there any good third movies? If you think about in terms of series and stuff like that,
Return of the King.
Well, yeah that was really, one. That big doesn't movie. Really count. Yeah, that was one big. I mean, but like Superman 3.
No,
that's good.
Right,
Harry Potter.
Right, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I was talking to a friend of mine earlier today about third movies always suck, and name one good, really good third movie that's better than the other movies and that kind of thing. I mean, even Jedi suffers from that, you know? Like, so, I don't know, it's just interesting. I mean, in terms of expectations.
No, it's kind of true, but, like, what Connor's saying bothers him doesn't bother me.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So,
my advice is to rewatch the second one and forget the third one.
Okay.
Because this one sucked.
I'd like to have all three and watch them in a row. So why don't you head over to ifanboy.com and tell everybody what you thought of it. We'd love to hear what you thought of the movie, whether you agree with us or disagree.
Yeah, you can send in your angry emails to contact@ifanboy.com.
This is going to be a big split. I mean, like, I think when we put up the threads for this, it's going to be like all-out war.
Yeah.
And if you want to call us and tell us about why any one of us were wrong, granted, we all had different opinions.
Yes.
We're not the same.
We're not unified.
You can call us up at 888-FANBOYS, which is 888-326-2697.
Very good. So, so Spider-Man Down, there. Oh, Fantastic Four 2 is next, right? That's our next movie. That's our next big one.
Yeah.
The movie so. I didn't at all expect to care about, but every time I see the trailer, I want to see it.
And I started off being really excited, and now I'm scared.
Really? it could be a train wreck.
Yeah, exactly. That's what kind of worries me, so.
But it's all for fun, right, people?
Yay! So until then, I'm Ron.
Rob Connor.
And I'm Josh.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Keep swimming. You like it to break it back up. Whenever there's a hang up, you'll find Spider-Man.
You are listening to the iFanboy Special Edition Podcast, Superman 3.
Superman!